I want to welcome everybody to a special edition of THP Radio and In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and alongside Golfer Gal, we are talking all about the U.S. Open. This is our official U.S. Open preview show, and we are going to make our stellar picks for the weekend.
Yes, I am so excited about this week. This is my
apparently, you didn't even let me introduce you properly.
Oh, everyone knows who I am already. It's all right. But I'm really, really excited about this week because the U.S. Open is my absolute favorite tournament. And it started 2 years ago when Rocco and Tiger went to the playoff. And that was when I was working in a corporate office and I was hiding in a bathroom stall getting text messages from you with updates.
Well, I think I may have created a monster because as anybody who's a listener of this show or a member of the THP Forum, they know you like your tour golf and you've traveled around the country to watch different events and talk to some of the players.
I absolutely love it. I think it's so much fun to be there, but sometimes these kind of events are actually more fun to watch on TV for me as a spectator because I get to see everything that's going on from different holes rather than just being at one hole.
I actually agree. I've been to a couple of majors and I actually prefer to watch them on television as opposed to being covering it as media, because as covering it through the media, you miss quite a bit.
You do, because you're specifically looking for certain golfers or you're trying to follow a certain pairing, you know, especially if you have requests from your readers who want to see so many things. So you don't really get to enjoy it as a spectator. But I think it's one of those things that if you have the opportunity, you should definitely do it. I know I would definitely do it. But it's one of those things where, again, I think I would do it once and then maybe not again for a while, because it's more fun for me to be able to see different holes, different players, rather than necessarily following just one group.
Well, the big news this week, of course, is the fact that it is the U.S. Open. But one of the interesting questions that we've been getting emailed quite a bit on is, no surprise, Tiger Woods.
It's always about Tiger.
And somebody brought up an interesting point yesterday in our office, and I'm going to kind of pose the question to you because I think it's a really interesting question. For the first time in a long time going into this major, I'm not sure he's the favorite.
He's not. According to the Vegas stats, he's actually not favored to win at all.
Well, you know, and that brings up a really interesting point because, like I said, we were talking about this in the office yesterday, and the real question that everybody was talking about was, what's the better chance, that he wins or that he misses the cut?
I think it's, does he miss the cut or how many people does he hit?
Well, yes, he hit a few spectators last.
He hit three spectators
last time, and he was gracious enough to give a glove.
He was.
Hopefully, he had a lot of gloves with him.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad for the guy.
I did also, but you know, that's what people were talking about. Is the bigger percentage, if you were to lay the percentages out, that he misses the cut or that he wins the tournament? And right now,
I say he misses the cut before he wins.
I do too, and I never thought I'd say that. You know, with his dominant play for over a decade, but the flip side of that is it's Pebble Beach, well, and it's Tiger Woods, and he plays this course well.
He does, but he's not playing well. His driver's erratic. He has no swing coach right now. His mind is in a million different directions. Every day there's something new in the tabloids about him still. And whether or not that's actually causing any pressure on him, I'm not sure. But I don't know. I don't think that he's going to perform well, my personal opinion.
I think that I have the solution for him.
And that is keep it in his pants? Sorry.
I was going to say visit a Waffle House.
Visit a Waffle House. I don't know that everybody would understand what that means.
Well, they have the best hash browns in the world.
Right.
And they make a tremendous waffle.
Right.
When you go to Waffle House, everybody, you must order your hash browns covered, smothered, and chunked, which is ham, onions, and cheese mixed in.
That is so gross.
And I think if he visits the Waffle House for many reasons,
right,
that will remain nameless or thoughtless, and orders those hash browns, I would sit next to him and say, I'll have what he's having.
I'm so lost right now. If you guys could see my face, I have a very puzzled look on my face because I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I think some of the readers know exactly what I'm talking about, or listeners know exactly what I'm talking about. But that's beside the point. Back to the original thought of, you believe that there's a better chance he misses the cut than wins the tournament.
I do. I do think he has a better chance of missing the cut than winning the tournament.
I'm on the fence. I'm probably going to agree with you and say that I think
mark it on the calendar. He agrees with me.
Yeah, it is a rare case. That's why she's usually wrong. I think that you're right, though. He does have a better chance of missing the cut than winning. But again, as you and I both know, it is Tiger Woods, and he could come out of nowhere and run away with this thing.
That's absolutely true. And maybe this is what he's been kind of building up the whole time. He came out with the Masters and still finished, what, fourth?
Right around, yeah, fourth. Yeah.
Then he didn't make the cut the next time, got a little bit better, still not great. So maybe this whole time has just been practice for him. Who knows?
And let's not forget the injury. He did withdraw.
Right. I've had bulging disc in my neck, too. I'm not sure about that whole thing, but that's besides the point.
Now, the course is different than most U.S. Opens, at least in the last few years, in that it's not incredibly long. Now, most of the time, the U.S. Open, long hitters are dominant.
Right.
Because the course, you know, the Bethpage Blacks of the world, they're so long and so unforgiving that the cream rises to the top. And obviously, in the U.S. Open, that's what it's all about. But this course is playing 7,040 yards, I believe.
Okay, which is really short. Not really short, but it's short for these guys for this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they play courses right around there throughout the year, and not normally for a U.S. Open. And, of course, the rough will be, you know, ridiculously high. More bunkers have been added. And Pebble Beach is Pebble Beach. It's scenic and beautiful and everything else.
I just wonder, if you've got somebody like Tiger, say, who hits the ball a ton, but right now he can't hit a driver or a three-wood for that matter because both of them are erratic. So if he can't keep it in the fairway at all, I can't see how he's going to do well. And especially if it's shorter, then it brings all those other guys who have much better driving accuracy and having them surpass Tiger without a question.
Well, that's a really interesting point and right on target. Now, going back to the Tiger Woods discussion, if he can't control the driver or three-wood, does he have a shot? Yeah, he could play 2-iron off the tee, and we know he just put one in the bag. For those that weren't aware, he did just add the 2-iron to the bag
and
this week.
He is amazing when it comes to saves. I don't think anybody fills right up there, but, I mean, the man can save anything. He can be two fairways over and get back into the green.
No question. And, you know, so that brings up an interesting point is if he's playing 2-iron off the tee, would the shorter hitters who are much more accurate then come into play and surpass him because of their accuracy and perhaps, you know, ball-striking ability? I don't know the answer to that, but it's definitely going to play out and have some serious good drama this weekend.
I absolutely think so. And then, of course, I think another major factor is going to be putting.
Yeah, he seemed to have the putter back on for the last tournament, at least burning edges, and the stroke seemed solid. So I think he's got a pretty good shot. My question to you is, with the course playing the way it is, and the weather prediction is awesome, which means the greens are going to get harder and faster, and it's usually going to be windier.
I was just going to say, it means it's going to be windier.
Will the driving accuracy, when most of these guys can play an iron off the tee, be as important as it has been when we're playing a course that's 500 yards longer?
I think so.
I think you might be right. As with every major and with every larger tournament, we make our picks.
Yes.
And we always put it up on the forum and through our social media sites, such as Twitter and Facebook. And we do it a little different way. We don't ask people to pick their winner and... we ask for the winner, your dark horse pick, and for some of the forum members, they'll know a forum member named T. Calloway, and for future reference, somebody ranked third in the world cannot be a dark horse pick.
I sided with him on the dark horse because he wasn't expected to win or nobody thought that he wasn't even really on the radar.
It doesn't make any difference. A top five player in the world cannot be a dark horse pick. But anyway, that's just a shout out to our friend T. Calloway. On to our picks, and we ask for a winner, a dark horse, and the person that's going to be the most disappointing.
Yes.
Meaning somebody who maybe, you know, they're being talked about, let's say.
Right. There's definitely some buzz about them, but they end up just flopping.
And we're going to go through each one here, and we've both been doing our research for a while now.
I'm about to pull my hair out. My decisions are – I'm having such a hard time making a final decision.
Well, it's funny. I'm looking over at her, and I haven't seen her research or anything like that, but her notepad is filled with blue ink, as it always is.
Yes, I only write in blue ink.
With whiteout all over it.
All over. I have whiteout all over my hands.
Rather than just going to a new piece of paper.
I have whiteout all over my hands and my arms because I would have gone through 20 pieces of paper. I've changed my mind so many times.
For those that remember the cartoon The Peanuts, she kind of has a little bit of Pigpen in her right now.
I don't know that cartoon, so I can't defend myself, but I'm pretty sure I'm not happy with whatever you just said.
No, he was an endearing character.
Right.
Back to our picks. Why don't we start with the disappointment pick?
Okay.
And go ahead and give us yours and the reason you chose them.
Okay, my disappointment pick, which probably won't come as a surprise to too many people, is Dustin Johnson. I know he's a two-time Pebble Beach winner, and I know that he plays that course really well, The guy does not have his head on straight, and I just don't think he's going to be able to pull it out. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong.
To quote the great Tiger Woods in his press conference yesterday.
Yes, he hits the ball stupid long.
Dustin Johnson is stupid long. I hope he's talking about golf.
I don't even want to go there.
This is the first time in a while with your disappointment picks. I don't disagree with you.
Really?
I actually think you may be onto something. But the guy is stupid long, first of all.
He's also stupid tall. The guy's like 6'5". He's lanky.
And his arms just hang forever. He's a big hitter. And,
yeah.
You know, we've watched him up close and personal at some of the events.
Yeah,
and
he's a great player. I'm not taking that away from him. I just think there's something upstairs that's just not quite clicked yet for him to be able to win a major.
I actually agree with you 100% right there. I had a lot of trouble with this disappointment pick.
Yeah, he's been changing his picks a lot, too. He told me what they were about a week ago.
Don't
and they've
believe
changed
her.
20 times
she's
since then.
She's ridiculous. She's just embarrassing herself
right
now.
Yeah, he's so defensive, he had to talk over me.
My disappointment pick, I have four of them.
You can't have four of them?
I'm going to name off four, but I'm going to tell you who my ultimate disappointment pick is.
Wow, he's such a cheater.
I thought about Ernie Els. You know, he started out so hot, and he's played good golf this year, but I don't think he'll compete at this tournament.
I agree with you on that.
But then the other side of it was, you know, maybe he's got it going again, so I crossed him off. Then I thought about Steve Stricker. You know, he's not a long hitter, but again, this isn't a long course. And again, long course for their standards, not for ours.
Right.
But he's another guy who I think is just kind of missing something right now since that hot start in the end of last year.
Yeah, he was number two, and now he's – I don't know where he's ranked now.
Not number two.
No.
But I crossed him off because, you know, first of all, I like Steve Stricker, but I think he may have a shot. Then I thought about Camilo Villegas and him being from the University of Florida. But that had no bearing, actually.
You cannot hold that against him.
And
that's what makes him so great.
If you say so. And I just don't think his head is on straight, but wait, I didn't pick him either.
I think
that with the way he's been playing is too good to put him as a disappointment.
I would agree. I don't think he's going to do terrible.
And then I thought about Tiger Woods.
I thought about him too.
What would be a bigger disappointment than that? And I'm going to stick with that pick.
You're picking Tiger Woods as the disappointment.
Yeah. And
now, when you say disappointment, are you saying miss the cut, or are you saying disappointment like he's not going to finish top 10?
Well, if you're asking me if I think there's a better percentage, like I said earlier, that he misses the cut rather than winning.
Right.
But I really thought going into this tournament that this was it for him. Mm-hmm. Pebble Beach was going to give him the shot. And, you know, we're hearing early buzz at practice rounds that he was still struggling. Practice rounds. I pay no attention to that whatsoever. We've watched guys in practice rounds when we go to tournaments who are shanking shots, or not really shanking, but just not hitting well,
yeah,
and end up winning.
They're joking around. They're betting on holes.
Right.
They're having fun more
than
anything
working
else
on their game. But something is telling me that it's just not there for him yet. So going back to your question, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I would say he would miss the cut. But the disappointment to me is outside of the top 25 for Tiger.
Okay, that's fair enough. I was just curious what your definition
really top
of
20, but my disappointment varies by the type of person you're picking. But
right.
With Tiger, it would be outside of the top
20. And that's why I asked that, because I was wondering what your definition would be. Now, here's just an interesting question off the subject real quick. If Tiger doesn't finish, say, top 25, do you think that this is a make-or-break tournament for him? Do you think that this will really be like a major punch in the gut where he just says, I may throw in the towel?
No.
Do you think he keeps on going?
No. He's got incredible athletic ability.
He's still young for golf standards.
Right. He's incredible as far as playing. In my opinion, the best ever. And he has that certain something that few athletes have. The Larry Birds, the Magic Johnsons, the Michael Jordans, and I'm using all basketball references. The Jack Nicklauses, obviously. The Roger Federers. The list goes on and on. A lot of Nike athletes in there, by the way.
I can tell you why in another show.
Right. And I think that with that drive and the I can't lose attitude, no, he's not done. And I think he'll be back in a big way. But I don't think – I disagree with some of the things. I don't think a lot of it has to do with anything outside of the course. I just don't think the guy's game is in place right now.
And that's very possible. He took some time off. He hasn't been competing. For him, I think what gets him to the top is the competition. Just practicing and just doing practice rounds isn't really much for him. He thrives off of that competition.
Yeah, and he's always said that he enjoys practice more than playing. But you're right. He thrives off the competition.
But there's a difference between enjoying it and actually going out to win.
You're right. And the other side of it is sometimes people need a sense of normalcy in their life to go to the next level. And I don't think he has that, and I'm not sure when it'll be back. And frankly, none of us know what normalcy is for Tiger Woods. Is it the comfort of the home? Is it what he was going through before? Frankly, I don't really care. But I believe that he will be back and be back in a big way. I just don't think it's for this tournament.
I don't think so either. But enough of the Tiger talk. We'll move on because everybody else deserves as much attention.
So, like I said, that was my disappointment pick.
Okay.
You picked Dustin Johnson.
I did.
Let's move on to our dark horse picks.
All right. My dark horse pick is Matt Kuchar.
I like it.
Yeah?
He's on my list. I can scratch him off now because you just jinxed him.
There you go. Well, I didn't jinx him. I jinxed the winner, usually not the dark horse. My dark horse is okay. It's the winner, and I'm going to apologize in advance to the winner that I'm picking. But anyhow, Matt Kuchar is my pick. I was looking up some information. You know, he has made the cut. He's in 15 events so far, made the cut 12 times, and placed top 10 times. That's pretty damn good.
He's playing unbelievable golf this year. He finished up strong last year. I think in his mind, he finally reached that he's a top 10 player in the world.
Yeah.
The rankings don't show that yet, but they will.
Right, and he's played under a lot of stress where he was paired up with KJ Choi and Tiger in the Masters, right?
Correct, and it didn't bother him at all.
No, not at all. So I feel confident in my dark horse pick. I'm pretty happy with it.
I actually really liked that pick, and he was on my list. I have two dark horse picks.
Of course you do. What do you have, five winners too?
No, I have one winner.
Right.
I have two dark horse picks, but I'll only give you one.
Okay.
Is that it? Okay.
Well, now I want to hear your reasoning behind both.
Oh, so you don't want me to do it, but you want to
hear
it. Well,
you already said
okay.
That you had to.
We know how it goes.
You got
to
share now.
My first one is Sergio Garcia.
Okay.
And I know people are like, what the heck? I mean, the guy, I don't even know if he's showing up to tournaments in the last two years, really. In 2008, he won three times, including the TPC, and two on the Euro Tour. But I think he's making a turn for the better, and he's been working on his game hard. I think we saw part of that at the Masters when he didn't fall apart, and he stayed throughout the whole thing and actually played really well. I think he's got a legitimate shot to win this weekend.
Really? What about his putting, though? His putting is atrocious still.
Well, I got a little inside info for you.
Ooh, what is it?
He's been practicing with a ghost.
Has he really?
The Kia Daytona ghost. And apparently it's going well. Now, whether or not he's going to put it in play this weekend, I have no idea. But apparently it's working well for him.
Now, is he practicing with a putting coach? Because he needs that.
I can't answer that for you, but I can tell you this. If the guy makes putts, he could run away with any tournament. That's how good his ball striking is.
I can see that, absolutely. And I think his attitude has been a little bit better.
His attitude's been great this year, according to everything we've talked to. And, of course, our wonderful co-host here being charmed by him.
Yes, I was. But I'm putting my charming, being charmed to the side.
Obviously, because your dark horse pick was not Rocco Mediate.
No, I love him, though.
We'll get to a little bit on that later. But yes, I did write down Sergio, and then I did not take him.
Okay, so who did you pick?
Well, before I say that, let me finish my Sergio thought.
Oh, the suspense is killing me.
I believe that if I'm wrong here, that Sergio will fold dramatically and quickly.
Okay.
And that's why I didn't pick him. But I do think he's got as good a shot as anybody in the field of actually winning this week based on his skill sets.
All right. I would like to see that. I root for the guy. I know he's said some bad things and done some bad things, but I would like to see him.
Back to her being charmed by Sergio.
Yeah, I know. I brought it back.
The person I did pick was Brian Gay, and I have a lot of reasons. First,
he was on my radar.
Well, he was on your interview show, too.
Yes, he was, but he was on my radar as a dark horse.
Not a long course, and I've made statements in the forum that nobody that's outside of the top 100 wins, the U.S. Open for quite a number of years now. But again, it's a different U.S. Open, and there's just something with his driving accuracy and his putting that I think could win this whole thing.
He puts lights out. He's
the number one putter on tour, I believe.
Yeah. I think he averages less than 28 putts. Around.
Yeah, and he's the number one driving accuracy on tour.
Yes.
And we all know that in the U.S. Open, when it's this kind of conditions, especially playing only right around 7,000 yards, those are going to be the most important things.
Yep.
I believe that he could win the whole thing.
I would love to see that happen. I really would. I just think he's one of the nicest guys on tour. And
of course, one of the best dressed. And a shout out to our friends at Sligo.
He is one of the best dressed. He's just a nice guy. He's a down-to-earth guy. He definitely wants to win. I think sometimes his head gets to him a little bit, but I would love to see him win.
Before we give our winners,
okay,
why don't we talk a little bit about a couple of pairings that are out there?
Yes, I do want to talk about that because there are some ridiculous pairings going on.
There are.
You want me to say it?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. I wanted to. And I think that even though it's funny, and within all of these pairings, not one of them is the person I picked to win, but I do think that one of them could actually be the winner. But we've got Phil, Patty, and Wai Yang paired together, Westwood, Els, and Woods paired together, and then you've got Ishikawa, Watson, and McIlroy, which I just think is interesting. Two young guys with major entourages from their countries, and then you've got the champion.
The grizzled veteran.
I was trying to think of a nice way of putting it, Tom Watson. I think that's going to be a really cool one to watch.
I think that when I look at the pairings this year, they're extremely intriguing in that they did a really good job of putting key people together. And it makes it easier for television viewing. You haven't mentioned that one of the pairings that you'll be following involves your man friend there, Rocco.
Yeah, he's my boyfriend. He doesn't know he's my boyfriend, but he is. I love him.
That is borderline stalking material. You know, though, when you hear things
you
think of Mrs. David Letterman and things.
I kid.
But every issue, by the way, of THP the magazine, we have Golfer Gal saying, I think we should have Rocco on the cover.
Well, he has a charming smile.
He does. who are you following outside of your picks?
Well, I'm going to definitely follow the Phil Patty Wai Yang group. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I like watching Wai Yang.
I do too, and we know he's a great guy. And one of the things that's intriguing about that group is Phil and Patty Harrington have both said they love playing together.
Oh, really? See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've both mentioned how they like that because they talk about things, and I'm sure it won't happen in the U.S. Open as much, outside of golf. They talk politics, they talk cars, they talk everything, and they have a lot in common,
according
to both players.
I'm interested to see what kind of interaction there is between Woods and Westwood. I don't think they'll talk at all. Woods he's got his friends in the in the PGA, but Westwood seems like a real quiet guy who doesn't talk a lot, and I have a feeling they won't be chatting much.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see a whole lot of chatter from them, but that's a good group also, and that's a group that could make it or break it kind of thing,
entire group. Ernie Els, Woods, and Westwood, are you kidding me? That's an awesome pairing.
So we have talked about the person I've picked to win.
Have we?
Yes, and my winner.
Drum roll.
Well, we don't have any drums.
I know. I was just saying.
Is Phil. And I know I've picked him before.
Yes.
But I can't. I tried every. I have 9 names written down here to pick as a winner, including one that I ended up marking off as a disappointment. I can't pick against him in this event. He's coming in so prepared, better than maybe he's ever been for U.S. Open. He's come close so many times. He plays this course well sometimes.
Right. Because he can have some trouble with the driver also.
He can. He also put a 2-iron in the bag, I believe. And I think we'll see quite a bit of that 2-iron, or at least iron shots off the tee, because he's capable of doing it. His short game is better than anybody.
Well, his short game's ridiculous. In a good way, I mean.
And I believe that if his putting stroke is on, which I think it will be, he will be tough to beat. I think you'll see a moving day Friday and Saturday out of Phil. I think he'll play it close to the vest on Thursday, but I think you'll see a moving days Friday and Saturday out of him, and I think he could lap the field.
You know, I would like to see that, but I couldn't pick him because I don't want to curse him. Although I feel
so
bad.
So this poor gentleman you're about to say is basically,
so bad for him,
basically should not even tee off.
I actually want this guy to win too. But I agree with you. You know, I struggled a lot to not pick Phil, but he is a fan favorite, and I like to go against that sometimes, just to be a little different.
That's because she's evil.
No, I just like to be different. I'm unique. I'm my own person.
Right. Yeah. So you picked Rocco?
No, I didn't even have him on there. In fact, I didn't even realize that he made it until this morning.
Yeah, he was an alternate.
Yeah. I picked Zach Johnson. And I picked Zach Johnson for a lot of the same reasons you have Brian Gay as your dark horse. He is an excellent putter. He's just behind Brian Gay in putting. He averages 28 putts per round.
With a Seymour.
With a Seymour, yes. He is one of the most accurate drivers. And he's actually a little bit longer than Brian Gay is, too. Not that length is going to matter too much, but he hits it pretty far. So I'm confident in him. He obviously doesn't break under pressure. He's won the Masters before. He just won Memorial. He's got it in him. Or not Memorial, I'm sorry. The Crown Plaza. Invitational. So
he didn't just win that. He put on a performance.
Yes, he did. He did. And it was fantastic. And I do think that he has a really strong chance.
He does. And he's playing incredible golf. Before we wrap the show up, we have to give a shout out to, we have two incredible contests going on our site right now, and they end tonight at midnight.
Yes. So don't miss out.
You know, we're giving away five lucky winners or receiving either a brand new rail hybrid or fairway wood from Cobra Golf, and for picking the best four players in the field, basically.
As long as you have a Cobra player in there, so it either has to be
Poulter or Vajegas.
Exactly.
And we're also, five lucky winners are going to give that, and then Adidas Golf has come in with their limited edition U.S. shoe, and only 3,500 pairs are being made, and they're giving away one as well.
And they are awesome.
Yes, they are, and both contests submissions have to be in by tonight at midnight. I just want to let everybody know that.
And you enter at contests@thehackersparadise.com. There's an S at the end of contest.
That is correct. And you can read all about them in our THP forum as well as on the homepage.
Yes.
We know what we're doing this weekend. We'll be watching golf and updating the forum. We hope everybody will join us. For myself, I think I feel confident in my picks.
I do, too. I know a lot of people are picking Luke Donald to win. I know he's a strong favorite, but I'm not. I don't see that, by the way.
I actually agree. We talked about it off the air.
Yeah.
So we are going to wrap this up for myself and Golfer Gal. We hope you enjoy our special edition show, or enjoyed, I should say, since you're done listening to it right now.
And I want to wish all the players good luck, and my fingers are crossed for my picks.
And she will be rooting for Rocco, despite her picking Zach Johnson. I'll just throw that out there. And this was a lot of fun. We do it for every major, and we hope you enjoyed listening to it. So unlike us playing from the rough, we hope you're keeping it in the fairway. Goodbye, everybody.